This is Get Lit With Literature. This is Monk. There is more to read and listen to at allbook-books.com, which gets you my Substack, Musings from Between the Lines. You can subscribe for free or you can chip in some money. This week, prompted by an article at unz.com, UNZ, American Pravda, Who Wrote Shakespeare's Plays? It's very long. I read most of it. And what it proposes is that there was not the individual Shakespeare that who has been revered for hundreds of years. Now, I had seen a documentary on TV maybe 20 years ago, which said that of the records and information from the time, whoever they identified as having the name Shakespeare did not own any books and could barely sign his name. And that, too, is mentioned in this article. What I didn't know, it was also mentioned some gentleman named Sir Thomas North, who may have written some stuff, and Edward de Vere, Earl of Oxford. So it's a long explanation, and it gets into citing several books about the topic. There's Thomas North, the original author of Shakespeare's Plays by Dennis McCarthy. There's another one he cites by Shakespeare by another name, The Life of Edward de Vere, Earl of Oxford, The Man Who Was Shakespeare, Alias Shakespeare by Joseph Sobran. Well, you get the point. My theory is that there was some kind of perhaps esoteric, mystical order like the Rosicrucians or maybe the Freemasons or something, where they had a group of people doing the writing, because the scope of history and the amount of, the language, the amount of knowledge and wisdom and whatever, people always quoting him, just seems like a lot for one person. So, for many, many years, it doesn't really matter to me, but haven't bought the Shakespeare was the one guy thing. And that prompted an assundry of associations on the same topic, which I'll begin with a quote by John Oberle, 1888, the U.S. Commissioner of Indian Affairs. This is one of the epigraphs in my book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest. The Indian must be imbued with the exalting egotism of American civilization so that he will say I instead of we, and this is mine instead of this is ours. So that, for one tangent, gives you a flavor of what American society is today, from superstars to influencers to fixation on individual politicians, individual athletes, individual artists, various famous and infamous individuals. Now, reading in everything I've read in 20, 25 years, what are the most common themes? Two of the most common themes I would say I've read in all the nonfiction I've read are that material goods, aka resources, aka living beings of Mother Earth, are behind every war, every incident, every event. Behind the scenes of what you'll read is the quest for a resource. And then number two is the anti-populist, anti-communist, anti-communal. Now, I just started reading a book, a fascinating book by Paul L. Williams called Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia. I saw this at a bookstore, and since Pope Francis had recently passed away, I was like, I gotta read this stuff, and I'm only 50 pages into it, but it is chock full of outrageous stuff, including that some of the pre-formings of the CIA and all kinds of heroin pumped into the inner cities and all kinds of nasty shenanigans after World War II were very much spurred by anti-communist, anti-godless communism with the Vatican and the CIA and mafia and all these people involved. But the point is, communism, whether you're for or against communism, it's a flavor of equality and communalism, but that's not exactly what it is. But without getting into that whole geopolitical topic, my point is that control of resources and control of people is one of the main forms of the domination system. System of domination, as Stephen Newcomb elucidates in his writings over and over. You can check him out at the Domination Chronicles, because that's where that, I used to always say the system, and now I have to add of domination. Because it is, it dominates the resources, and it dominates the consciousness, and it dominates the, it squelches the communal sense. So many native languages, indigenous languages, don't even have a word for I or me. So this is my point. One of my big points here is this whole glorification of the individual, and the other ramifications I'll give to that are Jesus Christ, the Jesus, the one, the only. But as I've written about and mentioned over and over, as far as I know, no historical proof of an actual individual named Jesus. I go with the idea that I follow the idea that the messianic movement of the Essenes was a movement that anybody could find the inner God, inner Christ, inner whatever you call it. The Indians call it Atman, the East Indians. That's within everyone. It's one of the most empowering things, and that is what the powers that do too much do not want people to do. They do not want people to connect with their own individual power, which is actually more than individual, because it's interwoven with all the beings. So that's what they want to stop. And so they're anti-communist, anti-socialist, anti-populist, anti-communal, and all that. Another example is I had read recently my Lakota friend Teokasin Ghost Horse mentioned something about black elk, talking about the book about black elk, that there were, I think he said thousands, he wrote thousands, there were thousands of black elk, so why was that one picked? Again, the point being that these individuals that get individually glorified, I think it's a whole mental con job, because then it promotes, you know, I've had to deal with this as a writer. You know, that whole thing of wanting to be known, wanting to be revered as, oh, that's a great piece of writing and I wrote that, and that kind of thing. And that kind of view for me has dwindled tremendously over the recent years, especially as I get older too, and I've always known it's the writing that's the thing, not me. And I'm a voice for many people, yet still, because I'm spending all, you know, the time doing it, it's hard to detach from that sense. But the bigger picture is clearly not about the individual, and it's about the message and the writing. And another example is that I've gone over in the when the book came to Indian country, that book is Removable Type by Philip H. Round. He talks in that book, he shows how the promotion, it was like the, you know, what had been around the fire storytelling, a community storytelling with the printed word, then became whole individualized author. And some of the natives, you know, got to have their voices put into the books, kind of thing. So that became, again, a promotion of the individualized voice and an individual author with an ownership and a copyright. And that is just, it runs contrary to the ancient traditions of storytelling. And, you know, the people speaking voices for the land and all the natural world. All that got flipped around into the individual author. So it's the variations on this theme. When I look at Shakespeare and Jesus and, you know, famous writers and this and that. Sure, people that are some famous writers and any artist deserve the credit, and they stand out as someone who has done the work to present things. But in essence, I think they're mouthpieces, they're voices for a bigger message. And their voices for the people. And so that sense needs to be accentuated and remembered, as anyone who's an individual artist has to grapple with that. And on a global scale, I think it's very important to look at this whole topic on a global scale, because it literally affects everything. The way that people get individualized, and then the sway that those individuals have. Because then the individual gets revered, and then it promotes the individual being revered at the expense of the bigger picture, which is the community, the village, Mother Earth, and all the entities, the trees, the grass, the wind, the birds, as I look out the window to acknowledge all those beings. So, yeah, this is a big topic. I feel like I could go on and on with it, but just pretty much sums up to beware of the glorification of the individual and how that has been pumped into the society and how that has been encouraged at the expense of what else is going on, and ways to work with other people, to find community, to build community, and to notice that community is not just, is more than human community, and to nurture that, because that's what nurtures us. The coffee and the toast and the cereal nurtured me this morning, so I have the strength in my voice to speak about this, so it's all interconnected. And as I think that Shakespeare quote said, the play's the thing. Not necessarily the author, but the play's the thing. And especially nowadays with AI and stuff, it's almost like an ironic thing that the AI is just promoting communal bullshit, basically, because AI is, from what little I know, is it illegally taking all information that's out there, which has some of it, you know, as copyrighted information, and then using it as this insane largesse of encyclopedic knowledge, and promoting it as a generic. So in that sense, it's a twisted form of the communal and a twisted form of, non-individualization. So on the other hand, individuals who do write things and individuals who do come up with ideas and have breakthroughs, and I know there's many famous writers I will cite as this is specifically what I learned from them or their book. So that has its due. That has its due, but what those authors are then talking about is a bigger picture. So there's both involved. It's the pedestaling of these individuals in a blind way at the expense of being empowered oneself and at the expense of the bigger message. And then, just to add one more thing that came to mind, is that sometimes people totally take no responsibility. They channel. They, like, sometimes I've read interesting things that are channeled, or sometimes, you know, it was channeled from the star system 2.5, whatever. Anyway, the different beings out in space, and some of that stuff is New Agey, I think, and deserves closer look. So it's an ongoing conundrum of, you know, who's genuine, who's the actual author, and what are we doing. But any day that you look out your window or go outside, there is one Earth. And so there's that story going on. I think if if one thinks in a more of a community, a communal way, that too can enhance individual writings. All right, thanks for listening. Be well.